The Podcast Studios is the home of Headstuff Podcasts. It's where lots of our shows are recorded and where we work on production, promotion, video, live shows, and lots more. In our studios here in Dublin City Centre, we work with everyone from international brands to government organisations, charities to arts groups, entrepreneurs to hobbyists. So if you'd like us to help tell your story in a creative, professional and engaging way, you can find out more at thepodcaststudios.ie.
This show is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network.
My name is Cian and my secret to life is laughing a lot together.
My name is Erin and I feel pressure to honour the heavy metal genre.
And you're listening to Sissy That Pod, your favourite RuPaul's reaction podcast. And today we're getting into episode 6 of season 15, which is the Golden Girls Girl Group Challenge. And we're joined by the effervescent host of Hey Queen and a plethora of other media outlets, Johnny McGovern. It was a fun episode. We spoke a lot about a variety of things. And yeah, let's get into it. Johnny McGovern, thank you so much for joining us here on Sissy That Pod to discuss season 15, episode 6. First off, how is season 15 to your taste?
Well, first of all, hey, Queen. I'm happy to be here.
Automatically trying to make it your show. Love it.
Right. Welcome. Welcome to my show.
You gotta
sit back and relax. I mean, I'm loving it. I love Drag Race. I love, I haven't kept up on every single international edition because, honey, they've been pummeling us with so many that it's hard to follow all of them. But when American Drag Race comes around, it is an event. Mm. It is a moment. The drama of the return to MTV. You know, there were network shuffles back and forth. What's it going to be? Oh, it's all business, big business, moguls, whatever they're going to do. I love how huge it is this year. I love how many contestants there are. I, like the rest of the world, am not too pleased with having to try to get to know 16 queens in 41 minutes and 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. But I totally get it because, you know, right now I'm producing and working on season 2 of my reality competition show, Go-Go for the Gold, which is kind of like a drag race for Go-Go Boys on Out TV. And that show is 24 minutes and 30 seconds. And you have to slice and dice to get, you know, 24 hours or 48 hours into those minutes. So I enjoy watching this with an editor's eye to see what they've kept, what they're showing, what they're not doing. But as a fan, I'm like, what, who, where, wait, I hardly got to know anybody. So I'm enjoying it. The talent is big. And I love that it's not just 21-year-olds, which we love 21-year-olds. They're very, very beautiful and they're gorgeous. But I like that there's a big range of queens. Of course, I know Sasha Colby. I really enjoy Sasha Colby. Oh. And at this current moment, honey, it's looking like it is Sasha Colby's Drag Race. But we shall see. There's many, many episodes left, and there's a lot of talent. So I'm enjoying it.
Out of curiosity, like I just have a question about your Go-Go Boys show. If it's if for Drag Race it's creativity, uniqueness, nerve, and talent, like what's the Go-Go Boy charisma? Yeah, sorry. I was like, is it charisma? Is courage creative? Yeah,
we do tell them that we're looking for a stud, a super talented underwear dancer. And this year, this year we get even more naughty, and we say, like, we're going to need you to predict charm, uniqueness, and moves all over the judges. Figure that out.
So this week's challenge sees the queens compete in a girl group, but it's a golden oldies girl group challenge. So the teams were Spice, Malaysia, Sasha and Aura, Marsha, Mistress, Selena and Lux, and then Lucy, Anetra, Jax and Robin. Each group gets a different style of music. There was hip hop, metal and country. And from that ensues the great metal war of 2023. Did you find yourself siding with one person or the other, Johnny, when you watched this? Or were you just like, guys, shut up and just get to it?
Oh, no, I'm never like, shut up and get to it. I am thanking God for Mistress Isabel Brooks, who is not afraid to be a little spicy this season. I feel like the girls have been coming from a place of fear for the last few years because the fan base has lost their motherfucking mind and has, like we saw, I mean, though we enjoyed all the touching best friends race of last year and there were a lot of great moments from that, we do know that drag queens are spicy motherfuckers. They can be catty, they can be bitchy, and they even show love, as Mistress Isabel Brooks mentions a lot, through being shady, throwing shade, poking fun at each other. And we, for many years, enjoyed this without needing to rip the girls apart on social media if someone said something mean to someone else. So I enjoyed it. And I know all the, you can see all the other girls were also like, ooh, somebody else is going for it. Yes. Eating the popcorn. They always have the sip sound. They love to add that extra sip sound when something interesting is going on. Good. I mean, I like it. And you know what? In this game, in Drag Race, if you do not stand your ground, you will get walked over. Someone else. It's a competition in the end. You have, if you want it, you better go and get it. And then once you get it, you better work it, because they also love to show you if you fought so hard for it and you bomb, honey, they're going to milk that too. It is a TV show and they love to milk when you fuck up. So I enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it to a point, I think, but like with Mistress in Malaysia, what I thought was funny was just I was getting like nanny flashbacks from when I was a nanny, because there wasn't, it was just like, I'm not doing this. And I was like, I want someone to offer why they should do it, or like try to negotiate in some sort of way. I like them standing for what they want, but I just it did cause me a bit of panic, even though I love Mistress, where it's just like, no, I'm not changing. And it's like, you're both saying the same thing, so who wins? When does it end?
Yeah, I was watching going, guys, come on, just get the rock, paper, scissors out. You can't just stand in the stalemate all day. And then that cap came from somewhere. Was that a cap from the camera crew or something like that? I don't know where it came from. And I was like, finally, there's a resolution.
Because I also liked it. It's like, no, we're not going to do rock, paper, scissors, but we will draw out of a hat. Which is good. Right. I'm glad that they finally decided to do that. Did you agree with the queens when like with both of those teams, where they were all saying that metal was the funniest choice because there was the biggest juxtaposition there? Like, would you have also been like, oh, I got to go for metal?
I think metal was definitely had the most comedy potential, for sure, as we see later in the episode, and it did. But you know, if you are talented, it's not like they all wrote raps that were so different. It's really just the styling of it. All the pieces they did could have worked in any style. But yeah, metal gives you an advantage because it's already visual. Everyone knows how to do this, where they do the double rock fingers and go, ah! that's already funny. So I can see why they wanted it. But, in the end, whatever you got, you just got to do it. And you got to do it as good as you can.
I thought it was so funny when Spice said that, like, the country thing was on the nose and then metal wasn't. Like, when I think of metal, all I think of are old, craggy faces. Like, Ozzy Osbourne just retired this week. Like, it's one of the oldest genres ever.
Totally. Exactly. Exactly.
Let's get into the actual performances now. I know there's, like, a moment from Sasha Colby. We can revisit that. Let's go in first on the banjo bitches. This was Mistress's team, so Mistress, Marsha, Selena, and Lux. I think this was actually my favorite group performance. I thought they were all kind of on an even pegging with each other. I know it was kind of belittled as like, oh, it's going to be too on the nose. But actually, I think the fact that we are kind of used to these legendary older ladies of country, that it was more of an easy fit for us. And I think they did a really good job.
Yeah, it was really cute. It was adorable. And Mistress was hilarious.
Yes, I think Mistress was the best, even though I found her hard to hear, like, diction-wise or whatever. Just not her, but it's just her edit in the mix sometimes. It's kind of hard to hear what they're actually saying. Where did these land for you, Johnny?
I thought it was good. I thought they looked cute. My question is, here's the behind-the-scenes question I want to know. We know they have the lift and they have to bring certain things, but then for something like this, they've obviously prepared these looks based on their measurements.
For sure. I was really impressed. Like, I was impressed by Lux going very kind of musical theatery Oklahoma-y, like had like a lovely little Broadway-esque vibrato. Like that performance felt like a bit of a Lost musical to me. Not that all the verses were amazing, but it just felt very cohesive.
Second group up were the Rockin' OGs. I think Sasha and Aura were by far the two best.
Oh yeah, I love that she was able to do the metal singing voice. I mean, all of them were able to do it except for Spice, who was doing kind of a white mom rap. You know, still fun.
Spice's interpretation was weird. Like,
my name is Spice, and I'm here to say I like metal every day.
It was proper like bobblehead. Like, yeah. It's almost the personification of the country character, but in the metal clothes and then the makeup. Like, she was clearly young. It just didn't go with the face. It was very funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was the one. I mean, Sasha Colby, I mean, we'll get to the winner later, but I thought Sasha Colby had this in the fucking bag. I mean,
yeah.
I thought she opened that up and she did it. She sold the character. Her vocals killed it. And I thought they were great. I mean, yeah, Sugar, I mean, Spice did stand out for not being in a metal character at all. It was like she did her talent show rap with putting the words old or metal in it. but she's on brand. I mean, that's one thing, you'll give it to Spice. She's going to stay on brand.
She's consistent. Yeah, I love that Sasha did the Twisted Sister kind of spider walk. Hot take.
Yeah.
I didn't love that she did the callback so soon to the neck breaking thing. That's me being nitpicky, but I was a little you don't really need
but
that.
You know what this show is like with catchphrases. Once you have one thing that they know they like, you just provide and provide and provide until they're sick of it. So I guess that's her saving, I'm here for the neck crack dynasty.
That's true. I'm sure I would have done the exact same thing. I would have just broken my neck over and over again.
Yeah.
But
the neck crash dynasty will continue.
I was surprised she didn't win this. How did we feel about the comically droopy boobs?
I was into it. Like, I don't think the outfit, the metal outfit that they had for them looked like a cohesive thing, but to me that was funny. I love that they all had the droopy boobs. It kind of reminded me of not that I go to a lot of metal concerts, but like if you go to a band that's been around to a concert where the band's been around for a long time and there are women in like band tees who clearly like used to follow them around and they're not wearing bras because they used to not wear bras and they're dancing wild and free. It kind of reminded me of that in a happy way. Like, these boobs are droopy because they haven't been supported for 40 years.
Not that you can speak for every woman ever, Erin, but I was just curious to know, because there's this conversation around like large breastplates and whether they're misogynistic, etc. So I was wondering whether the droopy boob could be considered misogynistic. But good to hear you didn't take it that way.
There's only a couple ways they can denote old in a comedy way. Droopy boobs, old makeup, walking on canes. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
It's not misogynistic. I refuse to think
that. Weirdly, I don't know where my line, or like, it's interesting thinking about my own feelings about this, because I'm thinking about there's something about Mary, and there's a neighbor character in that that has like long, old, wrinkled, droopy boobs. And I know that when I saw that as a young woman, I didn't like that. That made me feel kind of bad. Like, oh, I guess she's disgusting because she's old, and women are disgusting when they get older. But in drag, like, it felt like wasn't criticizing droopy boobs. And it's, you know, bodies are gross and strange and change in different ways. It didn't feel like it was anti- Well, I don't know.
This is the last thing I'll say on it, is that there are actual enemies to the LGBTQ, to women, to our whole community, who are every day fighting to actually take away our rights, actually do things that are harmful to us. And I think we as a community spend a lot of time attacking each other for nitpicky things like, do the droopy boobs and the Drag Race old people challenge, is that misogynistic? When we should really not be worried about that. We should be worried about the people who are actually physically and legislatively trying to hurt women, hurt the queer community, hurt trans people. And instead, we are looking at each other and infighting over things that really are coming from a place of fun or jokes or whatever else, when there are people who, in the meantime, are being like, ha-ha, let them fight about the droopy boobs, and we're going to start taking away their rights. So let's just all enjoy it and fight the real enemy. That's all I'll say. Soapbox down. Okay.
Finally, then, was the old dirty bitches.
that rolled out of your mouth so naturally, Kian. You must say that phrase all the time. The old dirty bitches. Just after our misogynist.
Well, I was trying not to say old dirty bastard, which I guess was what I was playing off. I guess we were told that this didn't work because they weren't taking on the mannerisms of the elderly in their dancing, I guess. Because, I mean, old, like, MC nanas are, like, you know, they are guaranteed gold. Like, how many times, like, Judi Dench getting her grandson getting her to rap on TikTok and stuff like that, or seeing, like, you know, Betty White in a backwards baseball cap. Like, we love that. This is, like, comedy gold. Why did this not work?
It felt to me like they... Like, I liked all the ambitious dancing. I do think it would have been more interesting if they all made a point of filtering that all through someone being old, not the exaggerated, just hand on the lower back, bent over. But I think I would have liked if it felt a bit sweatier, because it's harder to do that and it would be more interesting. I was a little disappointed that, and I fucking love Anitra, as everyone does, and I know she's so physically capable and would be able to do that, but I didn't think the switching on and off worked comedically the way that they wanted it to.
Yeah, I mean, this to me was one of the moments where I felt like we were being told how to feel by the editors. And because did I think this was that much worse than everything else? Not really. I mean, I thought they were all pretty good. And they did, you know, the only reason I think we think that it wasn't good is because we cut to RuPaul doing that thing when you never want to see, when she's smiling, but she's a little dead behind the eyes and you can see she's not liking it. And you get another look from Michelle where you see she's not liking it. Now, was it as dynamic as the other two? Definitely not. But was it that bad? I mean, we are definitely splitting hairs. They were fine. They were cute. They were funny. they kind of all just fell back on their tricks. Like, honey, I could do an hour of just seeing Anitra perform anything. I mean, after Walk That Fucking Duck, we might as well just, Anitra is already in the Drag Race Legends Hall from that performance. We all just want to see Anitra perform every minute because she's so dynamic, sexy as a guy, love her looks. I mean, I am an Anitra stan. But they just kind of, I think the problem was they fell back on what they do and they didn't commit as fully to the old thing other than being like, oh, my back, which is what I think the judges were reacting to. And we didn't even get like, they just, nothing was as fully realized. This one looked more like they were all kind of running around in circles and it just was more sloppy than the other ones. But was it like, ugh, they did such a terrible job? No, it was still pretty cute. It was still pretty fun. It's still pretty cute. But compared to the other two, it was definitely the least fully realized, the least embodying of, you know, old in quotes.
Yeah. I think also you didn't hear the judges laughing throughout, so you were kind of being told, oh, they don't find it funny. I was kind of hoping the judges would get into why they didn't like it more so in the critiques, and they didn't really. They kind of just
they forgot their lines, like, too, didn't they? Like their lip syncing.
Yeah, Anitra forgot her lines, and Jax was like ahead of the other people in the choreo. Yeah, so
yeah,
it was hard to know. So I think I found myself being like, okay, judges don't like this. I can tell by the edit, but I'm not entirely sure why. And then I, like, when I watched it again, I thought maybe it's just the physicality, or I think maybe the lyrics weren't as comedic, but it's still like. Initially, if you weren't watching this with Drag Race editors or, you know, knowing the format of the show, you'd be like, they were all great.
Yeah.
I don't know. I do have, so I have a question and perhaps a hot take, but there was something that happened in this performance that rubbed me the wrong way, which was Lucy, whom I've come around to, Debbie, like at first I wasn't like too down with Lucy, like there's something about her vibe that I didn't love, but now I'm on board. But she had a lyric that was where she said, talking trash, gonna get the stick, and then grabbed her dick, and I was like, is this an assault joke? I don't know, there's something about it that I really didn't like. And I was talking to my partner about this, and he was like, you were reading way too far into this.
I guess it's a walking stick pun, is it?
I guess so. Yeah. But she grabbed her dick, and I was like, I love a clever and insightful and telling rape joke as much as the next gal, but I didn't like the assault joke. I don't think there was a lot of thought put into it, but I did not like that.
Yeah, I think that. That was I definitely see where you're coming from on that, but I think she probably was just trying to rhyme stick and dick or whatever she was trying to do. And they got like 15 minutes, and then like a year later, they're like, you made a rape joke. And she's like, I was just trying to rhyme stick.
I'm definitely not saying cancel Lucy. It just was like a little sloppy in a way that I wish someone would have been like, I mean, not in the criticism of it, but yeah, I just didn't like that.
I thought that of all of them, her characterization of an older person and the voice and whatever was the most fully realized of the group.
I agree, yeah.
And
even the look as well. I thought she looks the most like an old person.
Yeah, and you can see why she ended up being safe, because she at least, she came through the most of this group, which, you know, that's a really talented group that they had. And I just think you're right. Their verses did not quite hit. Their physicality didn't quite match everything else. And it was just, you know, it just wasn't as good as the rest of them.
Sasha Colby has a moment in this week's episode where she discusses, you know, working in the Glades in Hawaii and how, you know, performers at the club would be arrested pretty much every Friday because it was, you know, illegal to, quote, trick the troops into, you know, telling them that you're a woman and stuff like that. I know you spoke with Sasha Colby recently. She is just, like, she's the perfect contestant, I feel. She's brilliant at all the challenges. She's brilliant on the runway. She's so motherly towards the other contestants. I know she was, like, holding hands with someone on the runway this week. I'm trying to remember who it was, who was crying. I think it was Robin Aura. And, yeah, and then she also knows how to, like, bottle up a nugget of queer history and deliver it to us in, like, such a brilliant way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's so important, and Drag Race really does do this really well, is that they have made a point to, especially as the show's gotten bigger and bigger, to let the audience know about the history. It's very easy for someone who was born into a time when, you know, someone like Sugar and Spice, who, you know, of course have had their own, everyone as a queer person goes through their own dramas, and it's not easy to be queer or come out or any of those things, but.
And they have quite a harrowing background.
Yeah, they do. And that's not to lessen that at all, but it's very important for a young audience who maybe doesn't quite understand how big of a deal it was to have these freedoms that we have right now, that everything has been on the backs of generations past who really had to fight and claw to live authentically.
I also think the segment with the old gays I thought was very nice, because it's,
I love that every time anyone says the old gays, it sounds like it's being insulting, like, even though it's a patented thing. Anyway, go on.
But it was nice to have a segment that was kind of purposely based on positivity, because they're so joyous, such a joyous group, and they were giving such positive affirmations about, you know, obviously they were touching on difficult topics, but from a really sort of positive viewpoint, which I thought was nice. I think we see it as well last week in Untucked, when Jax was kind of saying that they felt they couldn't take part in these sort of conversations about hardship coming up because they had a very privileged life and their parents were having, you know, trans people all over the house when they were younger, and they had a really accepting growing up story. And someone says to them, you know, it's important to tell the positive stories of queer life as well, because, you know, we can't just deal in all the sadness. So I really appreciated that they had that segment. And if anyone's listening and they haven't watched Untucked, that segment with the old gays is definitely worth it.
Yeah.
Apart from the fight.
And Sasha said, Sasha said something really important earlier in the episode when they said, we know you're the old girl. And she's like, I take pride in that because I'm here. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And that is really true. As
which is a moving message for any person, but obviously, especially for.
Yeah. I mean, exactly. Exactly. So the fight, it took Drag Race a long time to get trans women on the show in the way that they deserve to be there from the beginning. And I'm thrilled to see it happening now, and I'm thrilled that Sasha is there representing that in such a strong, beautiful way, as well as showing that she is one of the most talented motherfuckers on earth, honey.
She's unreal.
Damn, I love her. She's just amazing, and it couldn't happen to a nicer person.
She's unreal. Quick question, though. Do you think, this is me projecting, and maybe this is just what I want to be true, but when she was talking about Hawaii and was talking about the 1960s, do either of you think that that Spice maybe thinks that she was there in the 1960s? Like, just, couldn't do the math? Like, oh, God, that must have been tough.
Very possible.
The way that
did you know Al Capone, Sasha Colby?
Very possible.
Doesn't realize that means that she would have to be born in the 40s or
yes exactly. That often happens to some of us older. Someone will be like, oh yeah, well, your big time was in the 90s, right? I was like, I was in high school in the 90s. Okay.
Did you dodge the draft?
Oh, right, exactly.
On the latest episode of The Workroom over on the Sissy That Pod premium feed on headstuffpodcast.com, you can check out an episode where I speak with Stefano from GCN, the Irish queer publication, about season 2 of Drag Race Italia. we get into why some of the episodes need a bit of a snip. So you won't be offended if I tell you I watched it on 1.25 speed.
I'm not going to lie, there was the third episode, we did the same.
And also, possibly one of the best roasts of all time. I mean, I have some of them here, like, if you were my child, you would be playing with dolls in the bath, you'd be playing with a toaster. You remind me of a software update. Whenever I see you, I say, fuck up, go away. So that is over on The Workroom on the premium feed from the 8th of February on headstuffpodcasts.com. See you there. Runway category was tie-dye to die for, which I thought was a fun category because sometimes we get the same category, it's just rebranded, but I don't think we've had this before, so I thought it was good. Before we get into individual looks, I don't feel like so far this season we have a Gottmik, a Simone. Like, I don't feel we have, like, a really true fashion queen on the runway. Like, there's definitely a lot of nice things that people are wearing, but I'm not sure if any of them have made me clutch my pearls. Would you agree?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're, you know, Lux is kind of branding herself the fashion girl, and she certainly wears the fashion. She has the body to make anything look amazing. But yeah, you're right. It's not like someone is coming through the door Gottmik style where you're like, damn. I thought this Anitra look was good. Anitra is stunning. Did it blow my mind? No. But is the body sitting? Is the face stunning? Is it all gorgeous? Yes.
Does the nude match her skin perfectly? Yes.
Yes, it really does.
Yeah. So she's wearing a kind of a translucent bodysuit with some stoning and then kind of cut out applique patches on the boobs and then and kind of like a short sarong around her skirt. And then, yeah, it's kind of applique cut out. I don't know. I love Anitra. It looks kind of unfinished to me.
Yeah.
This is just a personal taste thing. I think like any kind of tied off skirt just always reminds me of like swimming pool mom, like, and that's my own baggage that I'm bringing to the table watching Drag Race.
How does that make you feel?
Yeah.
Jax was next, and this confused me. I really didn't get the Oompa Loompa-ness of it with the orange and the green hair.
Yeah, so Jax is wearing an orange bodysuit that kind of connects with her heels. And a tie-dyed, like, abstract, like, panel
to the
yeah.
Crop top?
I think it's meant to be like a deconstructed top, but I think so much is missing from it that it's hard to tell that's what's happening. And then she's wearing jeans that are mostly cut into hot pants with still like shin to ankle on one side that have been tie-dyed. I think the tie-dye work is cool because what she's done is bleached and then dyed at the bottom, and then the top looks like ice dye, but it's like Brooklyn Oompa Loompa corner shop girl. I don't know. You're from New York, Johnny. Who's this girl?
I am thoroughly confused by this look. I don't get it. I mean, truly, the only thing that I could get is she's going for Oompa Loompa, but like, why? What does that have to do with tie-dye? Why do we have this orange bodysuit? Why is that? Every choice in this is just very questionable to me. I don't understand it. I don't get it.
Lucy was up next. I know you've been trying to practice your naming the collars, which I should be doing too. Do we have a name for this sort of collar in this like tie-dye?
So Lucy's wearing a kind of a shawl collar.
Well done
shawl collar.
Thank
yes
you.
Yes,
thank you. Definitely
fashion
didn't have
expertise.
To look at my thing there. And and her dress is a kind of like a short A-line dress.
Okay. Nice.
Thigh length with platform heels. And this dyeing is definitely ice dyeing with the purple and the blue.
Mm-hmm. I think this was great. This like took, I think, like a classic silhouette and reimagining it through tie-dye, I think was like one of the best. All the queens who did well, I think, did that this sort of metric, whether it's the pantsuit or whether it's this. I think it worked really well for her, and I think she looks great on this.
Yeah, it's very pretty. Like, I would wear this if it would look good on me and not like a cry for help. But like, if I had the body for this, I like this.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, Lucy LaDuca is a professional. You can tell she's been doing drag for as long as she's been doing drag, because this look is clean. This look is together. Her face is beat for the gods. The wig is good. She does tend to read older in these looks. And I know we're going to get that criticism from her at some point, from the judges. And this is a perfectly nice look. Does it blow me away? No, it does not. Is it clean and does she look good? Yes. Is it a moment? No, it is not.
Robin Fierce was next in fuchsia and purple.
Yeah, she's wearing a fuchsia bias cut. For the listener, last week I was having a hard time with the names. I still haven't learned all of the terms, but I do have like a bunch of guides in front of me to help me describe these better. But she has a bias cut dress with
Wait a minute, bias cut. You better get your fashion together, honey.
Yeah, me.
The only thing is, most people listening to that won't be able to picture it, I'm sure, unless they know what a bias cut is.
So it's like the dress is giving the illusion that it's like draped on her body, and then it's cinched high on her waist with like a purple sash, and the bottom is asymmetrical, and it's a couple of layers of what looks like a chiffon type fabric. It's all, again, like ice dyed with fuchsia. Something I do know weirdly a lot about, or not weirdly, but this is all pandemic, is tie-dye. I know so much about tie-dye.
Nice.
So I can tell.
I thought she looked great in this. Like, if you know, I think she really knows how to turn a look and work for her body. I thought she looked really elegant in this, and yeah, did it?
It's giving it Dirty Dancing Barbie vibes in a good way.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah, I liked it.
Robin Fierce is so beautiful. Robin Fierce is a stunning queen. She has the body, she has the face, she has the moves.
Oh my god, and her boy look in the episode, if you guys remember, was wearing like this up to the neck button collared shirt and this cardigan, and I took a picture of it. Like, it's gorgeous. I'm like, I want to dress like that. But she looks so hot in any iteration. But look up that outfit. It's a really cool outfit. Sorry I cut you off, Johnny. Just overly excited about how hot Robin is.
Robin is hot as a guy. Robin is hot as a girl. I feel like Robin has just not gotten her moment to let us even get to know her. And as we see later and what happens on the runway, we sort of understand why. But I feel like it's just I hope we will get to see more of Robin Fierce on some other franchise, because I feel like this queen has a lot more to offer and is extremely talented.
100%. Mistress Isabel Brooks is up next. Thoughts on this, Johnny?
Gag, live, serve, kill it. I am such a fan of Mistress Isabel Brooks, because we know that as a larger person myself, honey, you need to pull together, to look together and to do drag and to wear a bodysuit and to present your full self on the runway like this and always be so clean. And so, I mean, every look that Isabel Brooks has brought out this season is, to me, chef's kiss. This look is stunning. She is always beat for the gods. I love the
amethyst makeup shoulder piece.
I feel like her package that she has brought is so just of a high level. She is bringing you drive with many A's. You know what I mean? Like, she is doing it. And it's not easy. We've seen other queens who can do a look like this, but it will look sloppy. Mistress Ildabel Brooks never looks sloppy, honey. She is together. Together. And I love it. I love it.
Yeah, I agree. So she's wearing a webbed dyed bodysuit that's like light blue and fuchsia and pink with more vibrant colors as like a crossbody sash that is also part of a larger cape with a cool, like, this look would not work without this brilliant shoulder sparkly feather piece. It makes it all come together, which is just,
yeah,
super smart.
Because it could just be, I mean, it is kind of just a bodysuit, right? I mean, it is just like, mm-hmm, a bodysuit, mm-hmm, with something on top of it. But because she's so painted, because the hair is so good, and because that shoulder piece is so stunning, it works for me. And I would remember this look,
yeah,
and love this look.
Lux Noir London was up next. Again, this is like the closest to the fashion we get. The way it droops off her body, it's like a kind of orangey yellow loose material that's just kind of draped on her in different locations and just letting her serve the body. And I actually don't think I noticed how long her hair was when I watched it the first time. It's like a proper 21 inch, you know, hair. It's this not as strong as last week, but still, you know, this definitely, if you saw it, you'd think, oh, the category is tie-dye because of how she's serving it.
Yeah, she's got this long feather boa. Like, it's not just a cutout skirt and a little top. She's got the gorgeous long wig in a color that you wouldn't assume would work. It's not just a color that's like in her outfit. It's this like rose gold color that really complements it well.
Like, the,
and the boa is an interesting thing that pulls it all together, I think.
I feel like this wig is tie-dyed, which is, this is what makes it more of a fashion moment,
right,
for me.
Yes.
That's a tie-dye wig, and it's really giving us the entire story. And I think her makeup's beautiful. And just look at
her. Yeah, it's so editorial. The makeup, the color is
editorial.
Gorgeous.
And I believe this wig might be 40 inches, so congratulations.
Selena S. Titties was up next with her sort of seashell-inspired tie-dye look. I think seashell is a clever way of incorporating tie-dye because it kind of looks like a naturally occurring coral pattern or whatever.
So it's a form-fitting mermaid cut kind of gown, but it just goes to the thigh, and then it has like a train that she's holding. It's all sort of denim color tie-dye with a lighter colored tie-dye ruffle, and then on top of it all is this like scalloped shell massive applique that almost looks like a big chest plate that also covers her torso area. And then the wig is a rainbow wig that goes from like green to purple, and then also has these rainbow earrings on top of it all. There are a lot of colors happening.
I really like Selena S. Titties, and I really hope she stays in the competition for a long time.
Me too.
I feel like perhaps the story of this look is that we're getting the ocean at the bottom with the ruffle, we're getting a shell where at the top, and then it seems like she's like a mermaid coming out of the shell with her neck up look. Now, does that necessarily work? Maybe, maybe not. I do think that we're getting two different stories going on a little bit, because we do have a very clear ocean shell from the body.
I also like the characterization of like a mermaid from New Jersey. Like, even the way in the picture here, she's kind of standing with her hands on her hip. So she's like, you can imagine her chewing gum and like talking back to people, but being a mermaid at the same time. I like that juxtaposition.
Yes.
Marsha is up next with her nosebleed inspired.
Do you get this reference, Kian?
No.
So Marsha is dressed up like Marsha Brady when she gets her nose broken on the Brady Bunch, when a football flies into her head that I think her brothers are throwing around. And that's like one of the most famous episodes of the Brady Bunch. So she's literally being like doing something that's an ode to her namesake. And she's wearing, she has a little dress with a Peter Pan collar. And this actually, the silhouette of this actually is Jetson-y. It's kind of 60s with pointed shoulders. We have little heeled Mary Janes and thigh-high socks, little clips in her hair, and most importantly...
Where is the tie-dye?
Silk blood coming out of her nostrils.
Most importantly, where is the tie-dye?
Oh, yeah, where is the tie-dye? I did not even think about that. Yeah, and then the blood appliques down the front of the dress. But literally nothing is tie-dyed.
Unless the white is it just because it doesn't come across on camera that it's like a very faint tie-dye. But I remember when I saw it on the show, I couldn't see the tie-dye either. So I'm not sure.
Yeah, where are the jokes? Where is the tie-dye? There is no tie-dye. This is a great look, very highly conceptualized. I hope this is the last we see of this Brady Bunch joke. Because we got it when she came in, and now we're getting it again. And I get it. I do think this is really well done. It has nothing to do with tie-dye. And I'm very surprised that, well, I guess she didn't get critiqued, so we'll never know. But it has nothing to do with tie-dye at all. This seems like another outfit that she had. I don't understand how it has anything to do with tie-dye at all. But I like it. Now, do you... We're looking at the close-up of her face. Mm-hmm. What more does she need to do with makeup here? I don't know.
Makeup wise,
I don't understand why this is not enough makeup.
Yeah, she's wearing more makeup here than she has ever before, too.
We keep hearing this note from her, and I don't get it. I mean,
I don't think she was wearing enough makeup for the lights and the cameras in the challenge. Like she looked like she was aged up to 35.
Right.
In the challenge. But yeah, I agree. Like this is plenty of makeup. I can't help but think, and I don't mind too much, but when I look at this, I definitely see like a lobster, or like just the way the blood is so perfectly spaced. It's the same on both sides. It doesn't look like blood to me.
It's like a couture concept of bloody nose. And I think it's a good look. It seems like it's a clever look, but to me, it has nothing to do with the theme or the brief.
Sasha was up next in this. Yeah, this is tie-dye. You know,
rainbow classic, classic 90s rainbow latex tie-dye. Looks great. Looks very Lisa Frank, if you know that reference. For Irish people, just Google Lisa Frank, big part of my childhood. And she has like a big, awesome, like kind of like Warhol factory looking hat with the drips of the latex. And I'm sure I'm not the only one who thinks this looks fucking awesome. Love it.
Something with the hat reminds me of like an artist's easel, which I really like. I think that ties into the paintwork as well. This is chef's kiss.
Stunning. Yeah. I mean, I thought she was going to win this challenge after this.
Me too.
At the runway. She looks amazing. This is the body is here. The face is here. I mean, this is stunning. This is stunning. It fits and she sells it.
Aura was next in this black and beige pantsuit.
It's a black oversized pantsuit without a high-waisted pantsuit, without a shirt and like a chain sort of bodice. And it's this is a bleach dye. This is negative tie dyeing. So it's a black suit that has been wet and scrunched up, and then bleach has been put on it, which is clever. Nice. With Cindy Lou Who wig.
Yes, I was going to say feather duster. That's a better call. This is great. This is probably my favorite thing I've seen her wear. Like, and I think she delivered it so well and with such like coolness on the runway as well. And even like the glasses are kind of like the shape of the sort of like flamed, outline. Like this and her performance definitely deserved her to be in the top. I just wouldn't have chosen her as the winner.
Yeah, I mean, if we're talking fashion, this looks like it's direct from the runway. You know what I mean? This looks like,
I feel like this is memorable. Someone, this is kind of the most wow.
Yeah, you could see this in Paris Fashion Week, honey. I mean, this is a stunning piece. As somebody who grew up in clubs where a lot of the queens did not wear boobs, I really appreciate this boobless look. And I love it. I think this is her most, she's serving the most Kent that she has served in a while, though. I've got to say, she's given us some good looks. I felt like they slept on her Mugler green emerald type of thing she wore a couple of weeks back. I thought that was really good. And I thought that she had one of the most memorable looks of the season so far in that horror dress that had the exposed line in the back. Like,
oh my God, that was so wild. That was so evocative.
That
it really did. That was actually, we talked about it. It was beautiful and horrific. Yeah, it was it truly was beautiful nightmare. It should have gotten talked about more. Absolutely.
Spice is next. And I immediately see this and think, look at this and think, oh, I wonder what Sugar would have worn, because they're obviously always so complimentary to each other. So would you say this is like a bralette?
No, I'd say it's a tied up like a corset crop top with detached sleeves, which also have like the lace up feature, and a mini skirt with ties up along the sides, and wide fishnet stockings and lace up platform heels.
And it's a green and black, right? The tie-dye?
Yeah.
It's kind of giving you like a Flintstones type of moment, like bones in the hair, or I don't know if they're butterflies. Whenever Sugar and or Spice, Spice and Sugar, I guess, since Sugar's gone, hit the runway, it's always clean, it's always together, it always looks good. But this gives me every other outfit they've brought the entire rest of the time. This is very similar to everything we've seen, and it's always good and well made. They look together, they look good, but this is not memorable to me. And again, she can sell it because the body is so perfect and the face is beautiful, and the wigs are always really well styled, but this is just a dress. I mean, it's fine, but it's not giving me a moment.
Finally, someone we did hear a lot from this week, and which is good because I like her, is Malaysia. This is like a floral tie-dye, would you say?
Yeah, I don't know if it's like stamped or what. It almost looks like wallpaper in a way. The torso, the waist of it is like a bodice that's cinching her waist, and then she has these sleeves that are the same color, that look like they're part of a bodice, and then it's
a bit garish, right? The colors, it's a bit like, it is a bit, and maybe that's what she was going for, this like,
yeah, I can't tell.
I would have to say that this is not tie-dye.
No.
This is giving you a psychedelic feeling with a flower print, and the color story is giving you tie-dye. And as usual, she sells the shit out of it. I mean, this queen has presence. It's a poofy sleeve with kind of a body shaper belt and a long skirt. I do not think this is tie-dye,
but it's more tie-dye than Marsha.
Oh, definitely. Because of the color story, it is giving you more tie-dye than that, but I'm not, without getting this super zoom, you can't really see. Anyway, again, I want the best for Malaysia Baby Doll Fox.
Yeah.
Because I really like this queen a lot.
Yeah, definitely. Me too. Okay, so I think we're all pretty agreed on the tops. We thought Sasha was going to win, but Aura won. And then the bottoms, Johnny, do you agree that Jax and Robin were the right two to be the, in the lip sync?
I knew Nitro would be safe. We're not getting rid of Walk That Fucking Duck until
no, that'd be
until hopefully yeah. the bitter end. She's another one that I would love to see in the top four.
I actually think Jax did a good job in their performance. I didn't love the runway, obviously. Because
I did too.
I would have personally put Spice and Robin in the bottom two. Because I just didn't think Spice's metal was giving.
I agree that Spice could have also been in the bottom just because they just, it was, didn't change up. There was no growth. It was the same Spice that we know we like. It's fun. It's ditzy. It's cute. But it wasn't, everybody else in that group embodied metal and stretched and did something new. Whereas, like you said, Spice did, I'm here to say in every way, I'm shoo-ba-doo-dop-doo-dop-a-day. And it was also extremely clear to me who was winning that battle once it started. Jax was not going anywhere with those moves that she was pulling out of her bag on that stage.
Okay, so the lip sync song was In Your Room by Bangles. Only because she looked so elegant and graceful in that flowy dress and the blonde hair, and you know Jax was doing great moves and they were sort of squandered by looking like Oompa Loompa, that I was like, I feel like if I was in the room I'd be gravitating more towards Robin. But I can see what you're saying in terms of like the precision of the dancing, that Jax did execute a better performance, I suppose.
I did. I appreciated that when she was talking to Rue, that she said, because this felt so honest and different from what other queens have said, when she said, I'm not a gambler. Like that, when she knows well and good that narrative usually is, well, I'm afraid to show myself. I don't think I'm good enough. And then you get Rue to say, no, you are good enough. You can do it. But she was so honest and was like, you know, I don't want to step out of what I'm doing because I don't want to fail, which felt so real and relatable.
100%. Johnny McGovern, thank you so much for joining us on Sissy That Pod and for giving us all your time while you're on tour. Is there anything you'd like to plug and shout out while you're here?
Yes, you know, Hey Queen is on a hiatus while I am working on season two of Go-Go for the Gold, which comes out this summer on OUT TV. Yeah.
Exciting.
You can hear my uncensored opinions on Drag Race every week on my Patreon, which is www.patreon.com/gayestofalltime. So, honey, you know what it is. You cannot really tell your full truth without being dragged through the mud. So I keep it behind the paywall. So if you would like to hear the unvarnished opinions that are not always sweetest pie, then join me over at patreon.com/gayestofalltime. Catch that. And then, of course, I'm on tour with Dita Von Teese. We still have another month to go, so you can catch me in some glamorous venue around the world. Exciting. And Go-Go for the Gold season 2 comes out this summer.
Next week on the show, they are doing the Daytona Wins Part 2. I have no idea what this is going to be like. What's your prediction?
Well, last time they did this, they did like a soap opera and then edited in little toots and farts. So, yeah, my question is, this time, will they know that that's going to happen? Are the farts going to get elevated to something else?
That's what I'm confused by. I generally thought last season was one of the most, like, humiliating things to ever do to somebody. When they're all just, like, standing there while the judges just laugh at them. And, like, I think they were like, well, we have to laugh because we can't argue that we were, like, basically dubbed over without our consent. Or we were all set up. So hopefully they're in on the joke this time.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's a fair point. I kind of loved it. But that's fair. And we get to learn more about your feelings with bodily function and the
next
humiliation
week?
Of that, which is fair.
Yeah. Stay tuned. In the meantime, you can check out everything over on Instagram. We'll have a new episode of The Workroom dropping, where I'll be discussing Drag Race Italia season 2. And other than that, have a lovely week. See you. Love you. Bye.
This show is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network, a hub for the creative and the curious. Shows are produced in association with Headstuff and the Podcast Studios Dublin. Find out more or become a member at headstuffpodcasts.com.